Thank you, Krishna, for the introduction. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to my talk. This is joint work with Jasraj Dange, Professor Vitaly Shymatikov, Professor Harry Quinn, and Professor Ian Zhang at UT Austin. Let's take a look at the problem. So denial of service attacks have been known as one of the biggest concerns of network security, and they are a significant threat to internet reliability and availability. The goal of the attacker is to send lots of packets to the end server and cause denial of service by either taking down the server or causing quality of service degradation. And DOS attacks can take many forms, such as SYN floods, data floods, NAPTA attacks, and botnets. There has been lots of interesting research in the community and lots of commercial products. To name a few, in the last SIGCOM, there was a paper on SpeakUp. Other literature includes SIF, Killbots, TVA, Pushback, and some commercial products from Cisco and Arbor. Yet, there are still of attacks still out there. So just 2 months ago, there was a large-scale DDoS attack on 6 of 13 root DNS servers. And just last month, there was a massive DDoS attack on GoDaddy.com, which is one of the largest internet domain registrar and the largest web hosting service providers. So the differentiating point of defense from the existing literature is the four main design principles. The first one is transparency. So the main challenge in DDoS research today is not only coming up with effective defenses, but also showing how easy it is to deploy such defenses in network. The second principle is defense operates in network so as to filter out all the attack traffic before it gets close to the server. The third principle is shared on-demand infrastructure. The beauty of defense is the defense infrastructure is invoked on demand so that it can protect multiple customers by multiplexing several of its expensive resources. And also, there is no performance penalty paid when a particular customer is not under attack. The fourth principle is stateful mitigation. So by having stateful mitigation, we can incorporate effective defenses against a broad range of denial of service attacks. So the key point here is transparency. When I say transparency, it means you require no modifications to end hosts, no software changes at clients or servers. So this enables protection of legacy systems. Also, you require no modifications to the underlying routing infrastructure. So the main principle here is how can you achieve transparency and deploy such middle boxes in the middle of the network? So let's take an overview of the defense system. So the middle cloud is the internet service provider. So the service provider is going to offer defense mitigation to some of its subscribing customers. So the top right-hand side denote the customers who have subscribed for the defense service. And the lower clouds denote the other service providers or some other networks. So there is some traffic which is going between the networks. And the red attack traffic causes an attack on the customer network, which is under protection. So at this point, we assume that there is a DDoS detection system which provides a trigger to the defense mitigation system. Our focus is not on DDoS detection, and we mainly focus on denial of service mitigation. The defense system is compatible with any of the existing DDoS detection techniques. So once a DDoS is detected, a distributed set of middle boxes is inserted onto the data path between the clients and the customer network, which is under protection. It attracts all the traffic for the customer network under protection, applies a state of filtering policies, and filters out all the attract traffic and forwards only good traffic to the customer network. Note here that the background traffic, which is flowing towards other customer networks, they are not intercepted at the middle boxes. In order to achieve the four design principles, there are several interesting challenges that defense faces. The first is to intercept traffic which is going to and coming from the customer network under protection. So how do you achieve this bidirectional traffic interception in a dynamic and a transparent fashion? The second challenge is to deploy stateful mitigation policies at the middle boxes. So what minimal state needs to be created at these middle boxes. The third challenge is we have to introduce a middle box on demand. So how do you bootstrap connection state at the middle boxes? And the fourth challenge is robustness to route changes, failures, overload conditions, and DOS attacks on middle boxes. So for today's talk, I'll be focusing on the first three bullets. For the fourth bullet, I'll encourage you to read the paper. So this is the outline for the talk. Let's take a look at inbound traffic interception. And note that we have to achieve this without changing any of the underlying routing infrastructure. So there is attack traffic going towards the customer network. And when the middle boxes are triggered, they have to transparently attract all traffic going towards this customer network D. So middle boxes achieve this using IBGP advertisements. So they send IBGP preferential advertisements to selectively attract traffic which is going towards the customer network under protection. So this causes the routing table entries at all the routers in the network to change and point towards the middle boxes. So now there is an entry in the routing table which says that if a packet is going towards the customer network, then it needs to be forwarded to the middle boxes. So once the routing table entries change, all the traffic is selectively forwarded towards the middle boxes. The middle boxes applies a set of stateful filtering policies, and now it is ready to put back the good traffic onto the network. At this point, there is a technical challenge because it cannot simply put back the traffic onto the network. If it does that, then it leads to a routing loop because the routing table entries for all the routers point towards M. So we solve this problem of routing loops by tunneling the packets towards the true egress router for the customer network. Even for the preferred egress router, it cannot simply forward a traffic to the customer network. So it applies policy-based routing to forward the traffic towards the customer network. So tunneling mechanism and policy-based routing are standard ways to achieve this redirection and forwarding towards the customer network, and they are available in all commercial routers today. So what we demonstrate here is achieving inbound traffic interception in a dynamic fashion and without any changes to the underlying routing infrastructure. The second challenge is to achieve outbound traffic interception. So the challenge here is to achieve some sort of ISP level outbound traffic interception. So the egress router R2 receives the traffic which is coming from the customer network, and it has to forward this traffic based on the source IP in the packet towards the middle boxes. This is challenging because routing by default is destination based. So solution to this is, again, policy based routing, which says that if the packet belongs to the source, the source IP in the packet, if it belongs to the customer network, then the router is going to tunnel it towards the middle boxes. So the middle boxes receive the outbound packets, it updates the state, and then forwards it to the true destination. So at this point, what we have seen is how to transparently achieve inbound and outbound traffic interception at the middle boxes with no modifications to the underlying architecture. So let's take a look at what attack mitigation functionalities can be provided at the middle boxes. So the focus of the paper is on TCP style attacks because stateful policies are a good match for TCP based attacks. And we need to achieve this using careful creation of minimal state at the middle boxes for the connections. So let me show you the different attack types, examples, and how much state is required to mitigate these attacks. The first is spoofed attacks. So the middle box maintains no state for any of the spoofed packets. The second attack type is unspoofed misbehaving. So here the attacker is using a true connection, but then it's sending at a much higher rate and it never responds to any messages that is sent from the middle box. So it is the TCP at the clients is misbehaving. So the state required at the middle boxes is temporary. So the middle box has to learn that the particular client is misbehaving, and after that it can purge the state for the clients. And finally, for unspoofed well-behaving clients, that is normal traffic, the middle box maintains minimal state for for the entire lifetime of the connection. So in the paper, we have proposed several mitigation policies for all of the attacks. And for today's talk, I'll be focusing on one example policy of mitigating spoofed attacks. So an example here is Synflood. The goal of the attacker is to exhaust the server resources by sending lots of bogus SYN requests. So this consumes the memory and CPU resources at the server. And our solution is to move the classical SYN cookie functionality into the network. The advantages of moving it into network over server side are two of them. The first is transparency. So the server does not have to be modified here, because many of the servers might have disabled SYN cookie, or they might be just turned off by default. So this enables protection of legacy systems. And the second is multiplexing. So the middle box can now provide the SYN cookie functionality to several of its customers. This is the classical SYN cookie. So the client sends a SYN request packet. The server responds with a unforgeable cookie in the SYN ACK packet. And at that point, no state is maintained. If the client is legitimate, it is going to respond back with the correct cookie value in the ACK packet. Server verifies that the cookie is correct and then establishes state for the connection. So let's take a look at what are the challenges in moving the SYN cookie functionality into the network. So remember, middle box lies in between the client and the server, and it is going to do the SYN cookie functionality. So there is a mismatch in the sequence numbers which are generated by the middle box and sequence numbers that are generated by the server. So how do you deal with this mismatch? That is the first challenge. The second is, the clients might start sending data packets immediately after the connection with the middle box is complete, but the handshake with the server might still not be complete. So what should the middle box do at this point of time for the data packets that are received from the clients? So initially we thought of naive solutions, but that does not work in practice. So first attempt is maybe to use full TCP splicing with address, port numbers, and sequence and acknowledgement number translations. This is clearly not a scalable solution because it increases the state requirements at the middle box, and it adds more processing overhead on the middle boxes. The second approach is maybe we can buffer the packets at the middle box till the handshake with the server is complete. This is clearly not good because it opens a door to another DOS attack on the middle box. And finally, this solution might appear good, is to the middle box can start dropping packets till the handshake with the server is complete. So this is clearly not effective because it causes the client to enter into the timeout mode and it suffers a 3-second delay. So this we have verified in our local experimental testbed. So what we instead do is as follows. So we have the setup client, middle box, and server. The client sends a SYN request packet to the middle box. The middle box maintains no state, computes the cookie value, and sends it back to the client. But at this point, it needs to make sure that the client does not send any data packet till the handshake between the middle box and server is complete. So the middle box, it chokes the client by sending a window size of 0. So the client can only send data packets with 0 payload, but it cannot send any data packets with non-zero payload. So if the client is legitimate, it is going to compute, it is going to return the ACK with the correct cookie value. The middle box verifies that the cookie is correct. It establishes a state for the connection and then forwards the SYN request packet to the server. The server responds with the SYN ACK packet with the sequence number. Note here that the value S is different from the sequence number that the middle box returned to the client. So at this point, the middle box has to perform sequence number translation to convert from value S to cookie. And at this stage, the middle box maintains only the offset between the two sequence numbers, which are used for translations. So it then sends a SYN ACK packet to the client. At this point, it needs to reopen the window and unchoke the client so that the client can send data packets back to the server. The client responds to the correct cookie value. The middle box performs acknowledgement number translation and forwards the packet to the server. So all subsequent data packets are exchanged with sequence and acknowledgement number translations. So note here that we have just demonstrated one example policy and what are the challenges of moving this functionality from server side into the network. In the paper, there are more policies to deal with different types of attacks such as unspoofed misbehaving and more botnet type attacks. So right now we have a good feeling of how to intercept traffic and how to maintain minimal state at the middle box to protect against lots of DOS attacks. The middle box is a stateful device. So we are going to introduce this middle box on demand onto the data path. So how does a middle box bootstrap state for connections? So a challenge is when a stateful device is inserted onto the data path, how does it capture state for connections which are already established before its introduction? So how do you capture state for ongoing connections? The naive solution is to terminate all ongoing connections and let clients start anew. So this solution is clearly not transparent because the clients have to restart a new connection. What we instead do is add grace periods to transparently bootstrap state for ongoing connections. And during the bootstrap phase, SYN cookies are used to filter out spoofed connection requests and allow only new connection requests. Note that during the bootstrap phase, all data packets, either good or bad, are forwarded to the server. And the job of middle box is to learn the state for ongoing connections. So how it learns the state is, it establishes state for data packets for which it sees the ACK from the customer network. So this is how the middle box bootstraps state for ongoing connections. After the bootstrap phase, the middle box has enough state for good connections and it can filter out all the attack traffic. So second challenge in dynamic state management is once a decision is made to remove a middle box, can we immediately remove the middle box or do we have to wait till all the active connections are terminated at the middle box? So how do you actually deal with active connections which were established via the middle box? So middle box has to do sequence number and acknowledgement number translations for connections which are established via the middle box. So the nice solution here again is to terminate all and simply remove the middle box on the data path. And this is clearly not transparent. So our solution here is to again add grace periods for the connections which go via the middle box. So note that all new connection requests are simply forwarded to the server during the removal phase, and no SYN cookies are applied for new connection requests. Also, no state is established for new connections during the removal phase. So job of middle box is to simply forward connections which were established via the middle box. So this is the local testbed that we have at UT Austin. So we implemented the attack mitigation policies on Intel IXP 2400 network processors, and we used XORP for doing the traffic interception. And we merged XORP redirection with Intel IXP using a bunch of ioctl system calls and C sockets. We used Ixia packet traffic generator to generate the attack workload such as SYN packets and spoof data packets. We performed two experiments of benchmarking the IXP for the mitigation policies and doing end-to-end performance measurements for throughput and latencies. So for today's talk, I'll be focusing on end-to-end throughput, demonstrating a proof of concept of the system. But there are more results in the paper. And we use nhost to run iperf and HTTP perf. So this is the end-to-end throughput graph. So on the x-axis, we have the experimental time in seconds. And y-axis is the traffic rate in Mbps. The blue curve shows the incoming attack traffic rate in Mbps. And this is measured at the Ixia packet generator. The red curve shows the observable TCP throughput using iperf tool. So the attack starts at one point and the throughput drops. So it goes down close to zero. And at this point, a middle box is introduced. So the middle box enters a bootstrap phase and it is learning the ongoing connections and filtering out all the spoofed SYN packets. So note that the throughput does not jump back to the original maximum because only spoofed SYN packets are dropped, but all spoofed data packets are forwarded to the server. After the middle box is bootstrapped, it enters the active mitigation phase, drops all the attack traffic, and the observable throughput goes close to the maximum. The attack stops at this point, and the middlebox enters the removal phase where it is serving for the ongoing for the established connections, and finally the middlebox is removed. So to conclude, what we have is a DoS mitigation system with four key design principles. The first is transparency. The second is in-network defense. And very important thing to achieve with defense is a shared on-demand infrastructure. And it can provide stateful mitigation policies in the middle of the network. So the key takeaway point from the talk is the principles behind defense. So it provides a general platform to deploy more network security services such as malware filtering. And the benefit of being on-demand and transparent is it can be viewed as providing a group insurance service to multiple customers. Thank you.
Mike Walfish, MIT. I have a really anal question that is not, it's probably not that important, but on the graph you showed, it mm-hmm. looked like the throughput that you were getting while the middle box was in effect is ever so slightly smaller than the maximum that you started with. If you look at the removal phase, goes slightly upward, and I was wondering if you could comment on why.
Here?
Yeah, so all the way on the right, yeah, exactly. Why, you know, is the middle box introducing a tiny performance penalty? Is that what's mm-hmm. going on? And if so, where's that penalty coming from?
Yeah, so I'll repeat the question. So the question is, before the attack stopped, the throughput was value X, and after the middle box was removed from the data path, the throughput has increased. So the reason is, during the removal phase, the middle box has to serve for connections which were established via the middle box. So there is some performance penalty because of going via the middle box, because of the triangular routing.
Micah Brodsky, also MIT. So I'm not much of a BGP expert, mm-hmm. so this may turn out to be a dumb question. At least sort of the schematic way you diagrammed inserting these middle boxes is sort of to funnel all traffic through this mm-hmm. the filtering system and then tunnel it back out. Mm-hmm. But if you had a single data center in which you had all the filtering system, you're effectively concentrating all the distributed traffic into a single location. Mm-hmm. So you're creating a new bottleneck at which basically you're suffering the denial of service traffic. Is there a good reason why that's more tolerable for the ISP to handle, or mm-hmm. is it possible to do more sophisticated BGP policies to use distributed filtering?
So I'll repeat the question. So the question is, are we simply moving the point of attack from the end server towards a single point in the network? And that's a good question. So we actually have a distributed set of middle boxes that protect against DoS attacks, and it's not a single middle box. So there are two concrete reasons why we need a distributed set of middle boxes in the network. So the first is, so the ISPs can deploy more, the ISPs can have more hardened devices in the middle of the network, and then protect against the customer network, against legacy systems who could be running weak processors. And so this also enables the ISP to protect lots of customer networks. So the ISPs have an incentive to insert more sophisticated devices in the middle of the network because it can protect legacy systems.
They still have to carry the attack traffic across their network. Is it possible to put mitigation spread across the network so that they don't have to transport all this attack traffic through narrow pipes and then back out, or is that not a problem for some reason?
Yeah, so actually we have a distributed set of middle boxes. So these middle boxes will be dispersed across the entire network. And so the traffic will not go into a single point. So it is distributed.
I have some experience with Cisco Guard, and mm-hmm. It's very difficult for me to differentiate mm-hmm. how this solution and Cisco Guard solution. It seems to me very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So could you please explain the significant differences between your solution and Cisco Guard?
Yes. So the question is, this work looks quite similar to Cisco Guard. So what are the main differences? The first is the outbound traffic interception. So we have taken a look at the Cisco Guard white papers, and we found that they only do inbound traffic interception. And also they offer only stateless mitigation services. So how we differ is we provide the functionality of outbound traffic interception that enables you to install sophisticated policies in the middle of the network. So this is a differentiating point from Cisco Guard, is you can, since you do outbound traffic interception, you can support more policies in the middle of the network. Yeah. Thank you.